Well, good afternoon. I want to thank you all for showing your interest in this topic by attending today. And I also want to thank Jamie and Elena for inviting me to participate on this panel. My name is Heather Gibbs, and while I currently am employed at the University of Kansas Medical Center, I do want to acknowledge that this research was conducted at the University of Illinois under the direction of Dr. Karen Chapman Novikovsky, who is a phenomenal person and a wonderful mentor, so I just wanted to note that. And I am planning to talk to you about developing a nutrition literacy assessment instrument. So I also want to note that I have no personal financial relationships to disclose. And this project really began when my research advisor asked me to find an instrument for her for another project she was working on that related to nutrition education. And when I started looking at the literature, I had difficulty in finding an instrument that strongly relates to nutrition education. I just have a few listed here, and Elena went over that a little bit before. So I think that this quote by Parker and colleagues reflects well the need for area-specific assessments where they write functional literacy is situation-specific. Someone's reading skills may be perfectly adequate in one setting and marginal or inadequate in another. So from my background as an outpatient dietitian, I am interested not only in a person's print literacy and numeracy, but whether these skills translate and if there are other skills that are important for making healthful dietary choices. So this definition of nutrition literacy by Silk and colleagues points to two components of nutrition literacy that include both nutrition knowledge as well as nutrition or diet-related skills that we wanted to build into a nutrition literacy instrument. So this is an overall snapshot of the development process of the nutrition literacy assessment instrument, which I will refer to as the NLAI. It was very important to me that I begin by talking with people who would ultimately use the instrument in practice, and so I started with targeted interviews. And a portion of the result of those interviews is there on the right, where the different content domains resulted and following the algorithm there. So then once we decided on the content domains, I then went back to literature to find what assessment methods had been demonstrated to that may help in trying to measure these different content domains. Once we had an initial instrument, then we pilot studied it in outpatient nutrition practices, and then separately conducted a survey of registered dietitians to get their feedback on the instrument. So we engaged experts in nutrition education, and in this sample we had 7 RDs, 4 who hold PhDs, and the average experience in nutrition education was 27 years. So we got really great feedback from these individuals. So we started asking the question, what basic nutrition principles are needed to understand diet instruction, believing that this would then lead us to those components that we needed to include in the instrument. So you can see we had prompted domains, which we had identified going into the interviews, but we had 2 unexpected themes that arose from those interviews as well. And the first is that the skill required to understand diet instruction is dependent on the type of instruction provided. And diabetes is a condition that was noted frequently as one that requires more skill and understanding to be able to use the diet instruction. Another unprompted theme, or unexpected theme, was that many of our sample felt that an appreciation of the relationship between nutrition and health or disease is fundamental to nutrition literacy. So as a result of these interviews, and with an interest in minimizing the time associated with assessment, we developed this algorithm to address the concern that not all skills are necessary for all nutrition education encounters, but to try to focus the education based on what instruction or what skills are needed for the instruction. So for example, if I were to work with someone on a sodium restriction, then my nutrition education might focus on food labels and groups of high sodium foods. And so if I completed this algorithm, then the first question asks, will the client need to understand concepts of macronutrients? And in this case, I would say no. Will the client need to learn portion sizes? Again, I would say no to this question. But for the next one, will the client need to read food labels? Yes, that would be very important for a sodium restriction. And will the client need to be able to group foods? That could be important as well. So in this case, the person would only complete three sections of the instrument as opposed to the entire instrument. So moving on to the domains of the instrument, the first is nutrition and health, which we have defined as an ability to link intake of nutrients with health-related outcomes. And so we have, in this case, also used this opportunity for a bit of a reading assessment as well, following the footsteps of others who have created instruments using the procedure known as the closed procedure in the TOFLA. And this is a procedure that includes simple text and then questions in fill-in-the-blank format where the individual can go back to the text to choose the correct word to fill in the blank. And so this text is adapted from the 2010 U.S. Dietary Guidelines. And I want to point out, I realize that this print is small. I just wanted you to appreciate what the instrument looks like, hoping that that would help you better understand as I go through it the methodology used. So the second domain is macronutrients, defined as knowledge of foods containing carbohydrate, protein, and fat. And this particular section requires prior nutrition knowledge, so they don't have a text to reference, and it is in multiple choice format, similar to the approach of the nutrition knowledge test by Sapp and Jensen. The next domain is household food measurement, which we define as a familiarity with commonly used measurements of food and an ability to estimate portion sizes, or at least relates to an ability to estimate portion sizes. So examples are provided here so that you can see we have food pictures in each question, but we also include the amount in the question as well. So there are actually two cues in the question to help a person decide if the amount is a recommended portion. This was inspired by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute's portion distortion quiz, which you can view online. And it has been demonstrated that food photographs are useful for portion size estimation. The next section is food label and numeracy, which we've defined as skill in referencing a food label in order to make nutrition decisions. And this is an adaptation of the newest vital sign in that we do use a food label, but the questions are provided in multiple choice format. The last domain is food groups, or the ability to group foods by nutritional category. And this is an exercise that I have used in various population groups and various ages just to introduce people to nutrition. And so I looked to the USDA to find foods that were most commonly consumed in each food group, and that became the list. And in this exercise, people are asked to assign each food in the list to a nutrition category. Now, I realize that there are some discrepancies between different food grouping systems. So, for example, with regard to cheese, which is the fifth item on the list, if a person were following the USDA model for food grouping, that would be correct under the category of dairy. In the case of the American Diabetes Association exchange system, though, cheese would be classified as protein. And so we do recognize both of those as correct in our scoring of the instrument. So at this point, the instrument was pilot tested in outpatient nutrition practices of 5 registered dietitians. And we were interested in knowing whether the instrument was correlated with another health literacy instrument. And in this case, we chose the Realm by Davis and colleagues. We were also interested in whether the NLAI informed the registered dietitian about the client's literacy differently than their own subjective observations. And we were also interested in whether RDs used the assessment to guide their educational methods. So just briefly looking at the results, you can see that while we did have a range of health literacy, that average is very high at 63.9. The Realm score is out of 66, and 61 and above is estimated ninth grade reading level. So we had a pretty health literate population, at least according to the Realm. We were pleased that for the entire NLAI, it took on average 8.4 minutes for people to complete it, which may mean that if they were only doing a portion, as the algorithm would intend, then it would actually take less time, which makes it useful in a practical clinical setting or outpatient setting. You can see that in terms of the overall score on the NLAI, scores were fairly high. However, people did score differently in different domains. I only have the percentage of the whole represented here. I was actually kind of surprised to see that in terms of the material readability, according to Fleisch Kincaid, that the average was about the seventh grade reading level, which anecdotally just kind of surprised me based on information that I have seen used. We did ask registered dietitians to complete a post-survey after using the instrument with their clients, and just scanning through the list, they did support use of the NLAI. So we did have a small sample size, which limits strong conclusions, but I think there are a few observations worth noting. First of all, as I mentioned before, we only had a couple who had Realm scores that were below 61. But interestingly, one of those scored perfectly on the NLAI, while the 23 scores that were above 61, over a third of those scored marginal or inadequate in at least one NLAI area. So this may suggest that some of the, at least in the case of the Realm, it may not be sensitive to other nutrition literacy components. We were interested in the correlation between the NLAI and the Realm. For the NLAI overall, there was not a statistically significant correlation, but when we looked at the section that is also a reading assessment, the nutrition and health section, the correlation was significantly stronger. So we were encouraged by that. Also, with regard to how the objective measurement of the NLAI compared to the subjective assessment, there were some discrepancies there in the objective measurement informing in different ways. We were pleased to see that when there was a deficiency noted in terms of one skill area, that the dietitians did provide education in that particular area. So because our pilot sample was small, we also wanted to get more feedback from other registered dietitians. So we conducted a survey online of 2 dietetic practice groups of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and the 35-item survey, we scored agreement based on this criteria of greater than 70% agreement being necessary, greater than 80% they defined as adequate, and greater than 90% as good. And as researchers, we separately scored and coded the comments, and we actually had pretty good consistency in how we scored those, and those I want to discuss a little bit further. So in terms of the algorithm, and just overall, we did achieve agreement in all sections of the instrument. And in the next few slides, I want to show you the level of agreement and what concerns were expressed in the comments by the participants. So in this case, the algorithm did achieve agreement, though a significant portion felt that there were some decisions that had been left out. And these were the most common themes. Some wanted to see more language and cognitive barriers addressed, readiness to learn, and an ability to purchase and prepare food. So for the domains of the instrument, we were both interested in whether the domain is important in nutrition literacy assessment and if the participants agreed with the methodology used in the assessment. In both cases for nutrition and health, they were supported. We did have several comments that related to the difficulty of the passage, and so in our modifications that are ongoing, we have tried to address this. It may also be that the closed method is unfamiliar to RDs, but this has been an approach used in several different assessment instruments. And I do want to point out, too, that it is important that there be some less familiar concepts in the reading so that a person does have to go back to the text or does have to read the text to be able to answer the questions. It was also agreed that the macronutrient section is important to include, and there was agreement with the method of the assessment. The most common theme seen in the comments was too difficult or encourages guessing, which was kind of an overall theme. And so at this point in our modifications to the instrument, as we test it further, we are using item response theory to determine which items to include or exclude. You can see that there was strong agreement for including household food measurement, and there was also agreement with the method of assessment. Looking at the comments, you can see, including various foods, we had several comments related to that, and they were not consistent with each other. So there wasn't a specific kind of food we found from there to include. One that I also want to focus on is the theme of including visual references and pictures for better size estimation. So in our edits to the instrument, we have included consistent size plates, utensils, and cups to better allow for size estimation. But I also want to point out that our questions don't actually ask people to estimate size. Rather, in giving them a cue with the picture and giving them the amount, we're really asking them if the amount that is presented is a recommended portion. There was also strong support for including the food label and numeracy in the instrument, and there was also agreement with the method. Again, you see a theme of difficulty. Now, question three was the question that was specifically targeted, and that is a question that asks people to compute percentages, which is a higher level skill, perhaps, but it is important in our assessment that we have a range of difficulty in questions so that we can stratify the learners and be able to hopefully have a better understanding of where they fit in the context of nutrition literacy. Finally, the food group section was strongly supported both in terms of being included in the instrument as well as the method of assessment. A couple of themes were including an others category or including a combination food, and I do appreciate that concern. However, USDA food guides have not consistently represented this idea in their food guides, and so in particular the current My Plate does not acknowledge either of these, so it makes it difficult to know how to incorporate that in assessment. One thing that I do want to point out wasn't brought out from the critique, but what I have seen in literature is that there is food group assignment that may be different in different population groups. So as we expand the instrument to different population groups, we will want to explore that as well. So from these studies, we believe that nutrition literacy appears to comprise different or additional constructs compared with health literacy. We also believe that the instrument is face valid as well as content valid, according to both the pilot survey or the pilot study as well as the RD critique. And we are pursuing additional testing to establish both construct validity and reliability, which is important to make sure that this instrument measures what we think it measures and that it does so consistently. So with that, I thank you, and I think we'll be entertaining some questions, but I'll turn that over to you.